Well, because today is Tuesday, we have the alt editors back in the studio to give us an update on current events and issues within the Capital Region. So welcome back. We have Katie Cusack and Luke Stoddard-Nathan. Welcome.
Thank you for having us. We're sharing a microphone, so thanks for having us. Yes, we have a bunch of stories in our latest issue, and we'll get to a lot of those. But I guess first, maybe I could start by talking a little bit about a story about the CDTA bus terminal, or planned bus station, rather, in downtown Troy. This is a project that has been long in the works. You've probably heard about it on multiple occasions over multiple years. The gist of it is that CDTA wants to consolidate two different bus stops, one on River Street and one on 4th Street, to one bus stop that is sort of a mega bus stop that kind of goes, it kind of is on the corner of 4th and Fulton Street that sort of fans out in both directions. It would be indoor, kind of climate controlled. There would be bathrooms, there would be ticket sales, and sort of like long, you know, big along both sides of that street, and then around the other side of the garage, in the alleyway between the Best Western and the garage, the buses would idle. If you recall, if you've ever driven down through downtown Troy, you'll notice that like the buses now kind of idle just sort of on River Street right there, and it's sort of this odd thing if you take a second and look at it. So CDTA wants to do that, and it would, I think, nearly a dozen different bus lines would stop at that one spot. And the roads would even be rerouted so that there would be a bus lane that goes in the opposite direction around the garage. So it's a quite complicated, ambitious project. I think it's supposed to cost about $4 million. I think 4,000 customers, they estimate, would use it in a single day. So it's a big, big project. For a number of years, they've been trying to negotiate a lease with David Bryce, who's the property owner of that garage, so that they would be able to have a long-term lease to be able to build this facility. But they haven't been able to come to an agreement. And in, I think, October, they decided to pursue eminent domain, to actually just take the title to the land. That's not the whole garage. They're not trying to take the whole garage. They're just trying to take land kind of adjacent to the garage, and they need to do the eminent domain procedure. Anyway, long story so that process has been playing out, and most recently CDTA had to do this kind of weird administrative maneuver where they rescinded findings that they had already adopted after having a public hearing, and then readopted findings in greater detail. And I talked to one attorney yesterday who has been practicing eminent domain law for over a dozen years. He said he's never seen this kind of maneuver done before. It doesn't mean that the CDTA procedure won't be successful, although David Bryce has now challenged it in court, and that procedure, sort of like a separate proceeding of him challenging whether this taking is even necessary in the first place, is kind of currently playing out in court now. So it's quite a contentious thing, but we've been covering it quite detail because I think that it's really important, and it potentially affects a lot of people, you know, who travel, you know, for work or for whatever work or play. So that's a thing that's happening.
I was just curious, is there a question between people who use the buses and people who don't use buses? Is that an issue as well? About, is this the thing to have in the downtown?
Do you mean like is there pushback from the public about whether this project should move forward?
Or the businesses that are downtown?
That's an interesting question. You know, at the public hearing, which is required for during this kind of procedure, three people spoke. Only three people. Nobody spoke in support. I was surprised, actually. That was one thing I noticed, and I asked the city about. I didn't hear back. You know, why? You know, presumably the city might support something like this that affects a lot of constituents. No one spoke in support of the project. The people who did speak were the was David Bryce, David Bryce's attorney, who both raised concerns, and then also Michael Kaka, who's the owner or developer of the Best Western, and he raised some concerns. I don't think he said outright that he couldn't support the project, but and neither did David Bryce and his attorney, to be fair. I think they raised a lot of concerns. They didn't say they were necessarily foreclosed. They weren't ruling out the project. Michael Kaka had concerns about noise related to his hotel, and he said also, which I found is interesting, that the bus drivers, and this is another key point, the bus drivers right now use his restrooms when those buses are idling there, which he said he felt like he was doing them a great kindness, and then he was kind of taken aback that CDTA was trying to, I think in his words, backdoor politic him or something like that, to force this project through. But you know, I think for bus riders and for the labor, folks. They would like to be able to have access to bathrooms, and I think that's part of why this project is important for them, for the drivers to have access to, you know, bathrooms more easily, I think. And then Katie has many other stories too. Maybe she can talk about those.
Can I ask one more story about the CBT?
Yeah, sure.
So there's been very, just to be clear, there's been very little public feedback into this or consumer input into this decision?
You know, it spans many years. I'd imagine there's been opportunities for the public to comment. It's not as if this is being carried out in the dark of night. It's a pretty open public procedure with board meetings and the like. I guess from my perspective, I've been surprised that it hasn't gotten at least more press coverage. You know, there was the Times Union reporter named Tim O'Brien had covered it for a while, but he's no longer at the Times Union. And it seems like no one's on that beat anymore, at least from where I sit. And I think, again, for a project that is so potentially impactful for the downtown area, there's been precious little kind of said about it, besides what I've been, not to toot my own horn, but we have covered it quite in depth. So.
And they completely shut down the River Street bus stop, the very well-known.
Yeah, you know,
it's such a central part of Troy culture.
I don't know what they would do with that space. You know, it's kind of a big little corner, but I guess that, you know, they could greenify it in some way. I don't know. Maybe they haven't gotten that far again, because, you know, this process could be a lengthy one. You know, it was supposed to be built by last fall in initial projections, maybe even earlier. I'd have to go back and look at the many different projections, but certainly now it's not going to be built until at least probably not till 2019, if not, you know, before then. So it could be a while.
So this issue of the Alt has all the details on where it'll be.
Yeah. And if you look up my clips, you can see like other stories that I've had. We posted a lot of different documents. You could really nerd out on this if you really wanted to.
Cool. Thank you.
Sure.
I on more of like an arts music side, in this upcoming issue of the Alt, we're also talking a little bit about the hip-hop kickoff, which happened in Albany, which was a relatively small event, I've been told by the artist, but it was about a dozen performers who came out and just like back to back really like brought it to the stage with like these very energetic performances and really smart lyrics. And it's just amazing the amount of talent we have coming out of there, and also in a sort of genre that seems to be overlooked in the local music scene. So we're going to be bringing more stories about those artists and their upcoming projects in the weeks to come as well.
So who are these artists? Could you describe who's actually performing?
Yeah, absolutely. There's Clear Mind, who we've done a cover story on before, has a single coming out. I'm not sure what the single is called yet. It's all very hush-hush, but he's going to be coming out with that project. And then we have artists like Entreband, who is this really interesting collective of about five to six different rappers and hip-hop artists and producers who all work together on each other's tracks, which is really interesting. And they have this really interesting, I keep saying interesting, but it's just fun to watch them perform on stage because they have this boy band kind of vibe, but you know, they all really play off of each other and give each other the spotlight at different times, and it's fun to watch them. It's a very fun community in terms of just hyping each other up and giving each other that kind of support, and it's something that I feel like has been overshadowed when people do any kind of reporting on the hip-hop community. I think they've been given a sort of light where they're kind of feuding a lot, especially when it comes to like city to city, like Troy versus Albany or Albany versus Schenectady. But, you know, from the other night's show, I think it might be moving in a different direction. I think that's a really bright and powerful thing to watch. And I'm going to be excited to continue to be reporting on that. So it's going to be good.
If you don't mind me jumping in as well, I have a question, the reporter in me. I feel like in past stories you've talked a little bit about, or in a past feature, the issue came up of like they sometimes, the hip-hop community in Albany is sometimes had trouble finding venues to perform at. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, they have a really hard time finding promoters and venues who are going to allow them to be holding events like this, which just happened at the Low Beat, which is the show that I reported on. And a lot of people have raised the issue of, is this a racial thing? Is this sort of assumed to be that, you know, people who are coming out to hip hop shows are going to cause a problem, quote unquote. There have been shows that have been shut down. Can't remember the name of the banquet hall, but there's a banquet hall that's tried to hold shows a couple times in Albany, and have this sort of reputation like dominoes. Each of their shows just keep getting shut down every time they try to throw them. So there's that. I mean, even on a bigger scale, we have sort of this reputation of discrimination against hip hop artists. When you think of like Cardi B, when she came for her tour, she was kicked out of her hotel in Albany, and she claimed sort of the same assumption that she was kicked out for racial reasons. So you have this like really odd tension happening with promoters and the venues and the artists in the community. So hopefully that improves. Which is,
So just to clarify, you're saying these are presumptions. It's not actually the things that happened.
Yeah, these are stories from artists who have previously performed at these kinds of shows and have been, had reported these problems, but I haven't myself been to any of these shows that have been shut down or that maybe police or law enforcement have showed up at, but these are sort of the stories that I've been told. So I'm not looking forward to witnessing that. I hope it doesn't happen in any upcoming shows that I'll be attending, but hopefully that is improving in the community.
And in your reporting, did you reach out? Obviously, you have information from the people at the Low Beat,
right? The Low Beat has been really great for the hip hop community, as well as spoken word and poetry. They've been really supportive. That's a great venue if any hip hop artists are looking out. They're very supportive of, especially local artists. They actually have a rule you can find on their website that they won't allow like touring artists from out of town or national acts to come unless they have a local artist on their bill with them. So that's kind of an interesting tidbit about them, which I think is pretty cool. Just supporting and helping those local artists grow and get that exposure. It's really interesting. So
how many of the different artists did you interview for this particular story?
For this particular story, it was just a show review, so I attended, and I've met with some of the artists before, and we have sort of projects in the work, or in the works coming out, so we'll be looking out for that.
And do you have reporting on upcoming hip-hop shows that are going on, or also the crossover between these kind of social justice issues in relation to promotions and venues and musicians?
Specific hip hop shows I'm not aware of in the like say month or so coming up, but there are a string of Black Excellence events that are happening in Troy, specifically in Troy Kitchen. I know there are going to be some spoken word poets and the neo soul artist The Age is going to be playing in about 2 weeks, and the exact date is escaping me at this moment. But we have sort of even that like genre crossover where they they're throwing those shows together. It's just as good.
Well, thank you so much for these updates. Are you allowed to tell us who's on the cover?
Yes, Airline J is on the cover, who is a performer at that evening's event. He actually closed out the show, and he has this really great shot. Last week on the cover we had Trey from The Sanctuary, which was really great. That was such a fun story to do and to spend the time with him and see all the interesting projects he has going on and what he helps out with here. It's really fun.
Well, thank you so much for being here. Any last points of interest for our listenership?
I would put out a call just anytime you want to suggest a story, please reach out. We're always open to tips. We always like to hear from readers. So if you hear something say something, I guess. Give us a tip. Give us a shout. Or just say hi. Or just tell us that you like reading us. Whatever you want to say. We like hearing from readers. So,
yeah. Well, thank you
and
so
much. Thank you for having us, of
course. Thank you. And you've been listening to Katie Cusack and Luke Stoddard-Nathan of The Alt, and they've been giving us some information on the upcoming issue, which will be available tomorrow.